Good morning, everyone. Welcome to worship on this sixth Sunday of Easter. Can you believe it's been six Sundays since Easter? I welcome you in the name of our risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our welcome is from Deacon Bill, Cantor Dave, and myself as we worship together with live streaming via Zoom. So you might notice that a few changes have been made in how we've arranged the sanctuary today, trying to make it a little bit easier for all of you to see us. But the most exciting news is that in a couple of weeks, this will all change again for the better. We're looking forward to getting a very different kind of camera and a whole new system. So just stay tuned. It's going to come. We're very excited about that. So also a reminder, the service is being recorded for our podcast, and it'll be on our website by around 11 o'clock. So last Sunday, I shared with you that Deacon Bill had talked in his devotions at one of our Zoom meetings, something very, very important, that of thanksgiving and gratitude. Remember from Philippians, do not worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And so each Sunday during our welcome time, I am going to share with you expressions of thanksgiving and gratitude. And I'm asking you to please email me what you are thankful for this week. So one of our members emailed me a note and said that they were thankful for two things. One, that their loved ones and friends who have fragile health are all doing very well, and that we've only had one case of COVID-19 in our congregation, and she is fully recovered. And for that, we give thanks to God, truly. So for me this week, what I'm really excited about and thankful for is that ministry continues to go on. I know it's not quite as visible to you, but ministry does go on here at St. Matthew. We will be having our mentor dinner, without a dinner, on Thursday night as our four young ladies who are preparing for affirming their baptism in October, and their parents and their mentors, and Deacon Bill and myself, we will all meet via Zoom to begin the next step in the process. And that's very exciting. So, a quick announcement, an idea for children and adults alike is to create cards for our shut-ins. Mail them yourself or drop them off here at the church and Kim will mail them for you. And we really want to stay in contact with each other. The other thing is you're going to need your cell phones today. So get them ready. Get them ready. So now as we gather for worship, my prayer is that our time together will be a time of peace and hope and grace for each one of you. So we begin with a brief order for confession and absolution. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and one another. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors, or families, or friends as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us. Free us from the urge to speak with haste, offending those we fail to fully understand. Let our words always honor your wondrous love so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for each one of us. And for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ and by his authority, I therefore declare to each one of you the entire forgiveness of all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So let us pray. Almighty and ever-living God, you hold together all things in heaven and on earth. In your great mercy, receive the prayers of all your children and give to all the world the spirit of your truth and peace through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Okay, it's time for a little bit of time with the children. Good morning, everybody. I hope you're either in your jammies or not. Doesn't make any difference. So let's see, who is here this morning? Nate and Kate, I saw your name on the screen already this morning. Jillian, Elizabeth, Christopher, Olivia, Allie, Rachel, David, Annie, Harrison, Benjamin, Grace, Brian. I hope I'm not forgetting any, but if I am, somebody let me know that, please. So I'm going to teach you a new word today. I always find it kind of fun to learn new words. It's not a word that you're going to use very often. If you're outside riding your bikes, you won't use this word. But the word is advocate. And we're going to hear that in the gospel this morning. Jesus is promising his disciples back then, 2,000 years ago, and you and me today, that he's going to give us an advocate, somebody to help us along the way. Kind of reminds me of trying to learn to ride a bike, that parents hold on to the seat of your bike, and then as you gain confidence, they let go, and you just go pedaling on forward. Your parents are acting as an advocate, a helper, somebody to help you learn to ride your bike. So God has blessed us with lots of advocates, your teachers in school, your parents, your godparents, your aunts, your uncles, your friends. But one of the most important advocate we have is Jesus himself. Jesus promises to walk with us, that when we're scared, we can say, Jesus, I'm scared. Or when I'm worried, Jesus, I'm really worried. Or Jesus, I'm really happy today and I'm really thankful today. So let us pray. Dear Jesus, thank you for sending this wonderful helper, the advocate, to be with us every day. Amen. Thanks, kids. See you next week.
First reading is from Acts chapter 17, verses 22 through 31. In Athens, Paul faces the challenge of proclaiming the gospel to Greeks who know nothing of either Jewish or Christian tradition. He proclaims that the unknown God whom they worship is the true Lord of heaven and earth, and who will judge the world with justice through Jesus, whom God has raised from the dead. Verse 22. Paul stood in front of the Areopagus and said, Athenians, I see how extremely religious you are in every way. For as I went through the city and looked carefully at the objects of your worship, I found among them an altar with the inscription, To an unknown God. What therefore you worship as unknown, this I proclaim to you. The God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in shrines made by human hands, nor is he served by human hands as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all mortals life and breath and all things. From one ancestor, he made all nations to inhabit the whole earth, and he allotted the times of their existence and the boundaries of the places where they would live, so that they would search for God and perhaps grope for him and find him. Though indeed he is not far from each one of us, for in him we live and move and have our being, as even some of your own poets have said, for we too are his offspring. Since we are God's offspring, we ought not to think of the deity as like gold or silver or stone, an image formed by the art and imagination of mortals. While God has overlooked the times of human ignorance, now he commands all people everywhere to repent, because he has fixed a day on which he will have the world judged in righteousness by a man whom he has appointed, and of this he has given assurance to all by raising him from the dead. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Bless our God, you peoples. Let the sound of praise be heard. Our God has kept us among the living, and has not allowed our feet to slip.
For you, O God, have tested us. You have tried us just as silver is tried.
You brought us into the net. You laid heavy burdens upon our backs.
You let people ride over our heads. We went through fire and water, but you brought us out into a place of refreshment.
I will enter your house with burnt offerings. I will pay you my vows, those that I promised with my lips and spoke with my mouth when I was in trouble.
I will offer you burnt offerings of fatlings with the smoke of rams. I will give you oxen and goats.
Bless our God, you peoples. Let the sound of praise be heard. Come and listen, all you who believe, and I will tell you what God has done for me.
I called out to God with my mouth and praised the Lord with my tongue.
If I had cherished evil in my heart, the Lord would not have heard me. But in truth, God has heard me and has attended to the sound of my prayer.
Blessed be God, who has not rejected my prayer, nor withheld unfailing love from me. Bless our God, you peoples. Let the sound of praise be heard.
And the second reading is from 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 13 through 22. The author of 1 Peter encourages Christians to remain faithful, even in the face of defamation and persecution. In baptism, we are made clean to act in accordance with what is right. Verse 13, who will harm you if you are eager to do what is good? But even if you do suffer for doing what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear what they fear, and do not be intimidated, but in your hearts sanctify Christ as Lord. Always be ready to make your defense to anyone who demands from you an accounting for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and reverence. Keep your conscience clear so that when you are maligned, those who abuse you for your good conduct in Christ may be put to shame. For it is better to suffer for doing good, if suffering should be God's will, than to suffer for doing evil. For Christ also suffered for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, in order to bring you to God. He was put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit, in which also he went and made a proclamation to the spirits in prison, who in former times did not obey, when God waited patiently in the days of Noah, during the building of the ark, in which a few, that is, eight persons, were saved through water. And baptism, which this prefigured, now saves you, not as a removal of dirt from the body, but as an appeal to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God, with angels, authorities, and powers made subject to him. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. Speak, O Lord, your servant is listening. You have the words of eternal life. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.
The Holy Gospel according to John, the 14th chapter. In final words to his disciples on the night of his arrest, Jesus encourages obedience to his commandments and speaks of the Spirit who will be with them forever. Jesus said to the disciples, if you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, because he abides with you and he will be in you. I will not leave you orphaned. I am coming to you. In a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me because I live. You also will live. And on that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. They who have my commandments and keep them are those who love me. And those who love me will be loved by my Father, and I will love them and reveal myself to them. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. So grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. There's a difference, I believe, between being alone and being lonely. One can be alone and not be lonely at all, or one can be lonely in the midst of 1,000 people. Sometimes I can really have a very good time all by myself. That's the introverted side of me. I can get away from everything and everybody and truly enjoy the peace and quiet that only being alone can bring. I meditate or pray or read scripture or read a really good book, or I sew or I knit, or I just sit on my chair and look out at God's beautiful world. It's a time of renewal and refreshment as I relax in the Lord and enjoy God's presence in the stillness and quiet of the day. There is, of course, though, a difference between being alone and being lonely. Watching the nightly news some time ago, I saw a feature story that highlighted children seeking adoption. One child said that he would like to find a home because he was tired of telling people that the other kids he lived with were only my foster brother or my foster sister. Having been in the foster care system practically all his life, he knew that any foster family's relationship could end at any time. He wanted to be with a family, to feel as if he was part of something. He was around people all the time, but he was lonely, and he was tired of it. I think you and I want the same things this young child wanted. We want to be a part of something. We want to be in relationship with people we know will be there for us. We want to be around people who love us. And like the little boy, we don't want to be lonely. We want to be loved, cared for, supported, uplifted, embraced, and strengthened. No one truly wants to be lonely. Jesus had already told his disciples that he must go and prepare a place for them. We heard that lesson last Sunday. He knows this is not going to sit too well with them. He knows that they will be hurt and will wrestle with feeling alone. They will have to battle bouts of feeling lonely and depressed, and this is not going to be easy for them. So Jesus gives them a promise. Jesus says that God will leave them with an advocate. That word I just tried to teach to the kids. Another person to stand up and speak on their behalf, to act on their behalf. Another person to care for them and to watch out for them. Another person to move mountains and obstacles out of their way. Another person who will speak the truth, and one whom they will know because he will abide in them. Jesus is saying, I'm not leaving you alone. I'm not leaving you to fend for yourselves. I am asking God to send the advocate, the counselor, the helper, to be with you and to guide you, to move in you and to work in you, to sustain you and to free you to be all that God has called you to be. We're going to hear a lot more about the Spirit in just a couple of weeks on Pentecost. This passage reminds us, truly, that we are not alone. The Spirit is with us. The Spirit is moving us, abiding in us. We are being led and guided by the Spirit, and we are not alone. Yet sometimes we may feel like we're all alone. Sometimes, like that little boy on the news, we may believe that no one is out there for us, that nobody seems to care. And there's been days when I've wondered about such things, but I know that's not true. But I don't wonder about them very long, because it's then I hear God saying, you're not alone. I've left the advocate to defend you, to help, to strengthen you. I'm quickly reminded that the Spirit is working. And when the Spirit is working, God will have all of us doing things that we thought we would never do, worshiping in places we never thought we would worship, worshiping via Zoom, saying things you never thought you would say, going places you thought you would never go. Because when we allow the Spirit to work, and we Lutherans are a little afraid of this part of the Trinity called the Spirit, but when we allow the Spirit to work, loneliness and despair disappear, relationships are renewed, and hearts become healthy. When we allow the Spirit to work, assurance abounds, and blessings just bloom like the flowers in spring. Faith is strengthened and love is lifted. And thus we can sing with the psalmist, but truly, God has listened. God has given heed to my prayer. Blessed be God, because he has not rejected my prayer or removed his steadfast love from me. God works through us. God goes before us and with us. We will never be alone because we will be with Jesus, and Jesus will be with us. So, my friends, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Amen. Uplifted by the promise, hope of healing and resurrection, we join the people of God in all times and places in praying for the church, the world, and all who are in need. We pray for those convalescing, homebound, and all affected by this current social quarantine and isolation. For our first responders, our military members, their families, doctors, nurses, medical technicians, working tirelessly against this wretched disease. We pray especially for John Fisher and Willie Thomas, Patricia Sullivan, all of our members in care facilities of any kind and their families, for our call committee and call process, for our Stephen Ministry caregivers and receivers, and those that we name silently in our hearts or out loud on our lips. Bring healing and relief to all, and give us hope in the promise of new and eternal life where pain and suffering will be no more.
Our response today is, hear our prayer. Abiding God, you have revealed yourself to us in the form of your Son, Jesus Christ. Embolden your church as your followers to reveal your love to everyone in our speaking and in our living. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
You are the creator of heaven and earth. Revitalize the earth, the health of oceans, rivers, lakes, springs, glaciers, and other bodies of water that give life to your creatures. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
You call all people of the world your children. Judge the nations justly. Show mercy to the oppressed, and speak truth to power through your prophets. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
You come near to us when we are lost, and you hear our distress. We pray for those who suffer in any way, especially during this universal health crisis. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Your commands are good and merciful. Give us courage to take hold of our baptismal promises, to work for justice, advocate for the voiceless, and free the oppressed and imprisoned in body, mind, or spirit. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
You remain with us always, O God, and your kingdom has no end. We remember the saints who have gone before us. Unite us forever in your final victory over death. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer. With bold confidence in your love, Almighty God, we place all for whom we pray into eternal care through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
So Deacon Bill was getting his phone ready before he left the altar. So we're going to try doing this and see how it works. Going to share a virtual passing of the peace. I encourage you to have your telephone ready so that you can text the peace to someone else. I don't have a place to carry my phone with me, so I don't have my phone with me. So the peace of the Lord be with you always.
And also with you.
Are you passing the peace to someone? And together, let us pray the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. And now may the one who brought forth Jesus from the dead raise you to new life, fill you with hope, and turn your mourning into dancing. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever. Amen. Thank you.
Christ is risen. Alleluia. Go in peace. Share the good news. Stay safe. Thanks be to God. Alleluia.